Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your amazing support. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggression. Hey, are you looking to get out of wherever you are the first week of February and head to Mexico where it's going to be 80 degrees and beautiful? Well, I have an opportunity for you. If you are interested in coming to Anarcapulco 2023, I got a discount promo code for you, macro. If you want to go to anarcapulco.com and buy tickets to it, I'll save you some money on it. You might as well take that. You're going to need it. You're going to be spending it on drinks there in the sun. Come join me. I'll be there. Obviously, Berwick will be there as well. Max Egan, Larkin Rose, David Icke, Dr. Ron Paul will be there again. Dan Dix, Del Bigtree, Mark Passio, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Carrie Madej. Lots of people are going to be there. There's a kids camp. If you have kids and you want to put them somewhere cool where they won't get molested, then definitely take them to the kids camp there. There's all kinds of programs going. Unschooling, homeschooling, crypto stages, health and wellness, understanding about anarchy. And, you know, look, you're in Mexico, so there's worse places to be. If you're interested, February 6th through the 10th, 2023, Anarcapulco. The link is going to be in the description, so you don't have to try to spell Anarcapulco on your own. Also, thank you to our sponsors. We appreciate them. We need them to do the show. So my promise to you is that I will find sponsors that fit, that make sense, that have products or services that you actually might want. So thank you to Legal Shield. They have been in business for 50 years. They have an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau and are available in the United States as well as Canada. And what it is it's the collective buying power of all of us directed towards high-powered law firms in your area. You get access to attorneys in this particular law firm. The attorneys you'll be working with have an average of 22 years of experience. So you're not getting some dummy straight out of law school. You're getting experienced attorneys. And what they can do for you is a variety of things. First of all, the service from Legal Shield costs $1 a day. Okay. You are asking for trouble to go through life and not have access to an attorney. I don't need to tell most of you this. You understand this, that it's the playing field is not level. They say to us, equal justice under the law. But nobody really believes that because they know that the better your attorney is, the higher the frequency of things going your direction. So if you've got somebody at your work is asking you to sign some contract that you do not understand that has to do with maybe, I don't know, new medical restrictions or things like that due to what we've gone through the last 2 years, or maybe you've been, maybe you're having problems with a company and you want to fire off a letter from your attorney, but you don't actually have an attorney. Well, guess what? You do now. If you need legal documents, if you need power of attorneys, wills, medical directives, financial directives, all of these things you got to have. Okay. As an adult, as you know, you need these things. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants to go pay for them, of course. You don't want to think about, I need to get my will together in case I die. Well, look, here's the downside of not doing that. The state gets involved. And what did I just say? I'm going to speak at an anarchist convention. So anytime the state is removed from the equation, things get a lot better. So do this. If you have a will, but you haven't updated it in a while, or you don't have one at all, and you think that you might need these documents, do this. Just go to the website landing page that we created specifically for macroaggressions. It's www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. And just take a look and see what you think. They have a variety of other packages as well. They have one for small businesses. If you run a small business and you need a lawyer, well, look, guess what? You can sign on for that. They have ID Shield, which is credit monitoring, reputation management, password manager. Look, there's all kinds of things that you can use this service for. I beg you to use this for good and not evil. I don't want you guys signing up for this, getting in touch with your new attorney and firing off letters to all the people that you don't like. Look, only if somebody is really messing with you. That's why we picked the name don'tgetpushedaround.com. Okay. Just if you feel like you're getting pushed around, you feel like you maybe are unclear about what your rights are. Maybe you just got a speeding ticket and you're about to pay it, but you're not really sure. I wasn't really speeding. Talk to these people first. My goodness. We're not lawyers. I'm not a lawyer. You're probably not a lawyer. Words mean different things legally than they mean to us in everyday conversation. One word in a contract can make all the difference. So if you are about to sign a contract, never sign a contract from this point forward until you send it over to your attorney. So if it's right for you, go ahead and pull the trigger. Otherwise, just take a look. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the website. And also thank you to our sponsor, Solar Power Lifestyle. They're a small veteran-owned business here in America. They sell all kinds of solar-powered gadgets. They've got them all. They love this show. They listen to this show. That's how we got in touch with them. It's a great fit. I think it's something you should at least check out if you are interested in getting a backup power system or, you know, something portable. Maybe you're in a van driving across country and you need portable solar. Maybe you want to put a whole system on your house. If you're so inclined, you can do that. They offer that. They have financing available for that. So free shipping on all products, 30-day price match guarantee. They'll give you a discount on your purchase if you use the promo code macro. So do this. Just check it out. If you're in the market for something solar related, might as well shop with people that support us and think like us and like the same things that we like. And, you know, it seems like a good fit to me. So solarpowerlifestyle.com is the website. All of the links will be in the show notes. So I don't expect you to be like writing it down while you're driving around. Well, I don't even know what triggered me to go down this path for this particular topic. Well, yeah, I guess I do. I guess I know what finally put me over the top. I've been wanting to do an episode about California for a while. I lived in California for 35 years, and I think as qualified as anybody to speak about the good things and bad things of the state of California in general. But that's not exactly what this episode is about. This episode is about a particular city in California that seems to get just about everything wrong. I'm talking about San Francisco. And when I was a real little kid, I remember watching this show with my grandmother called The Streets of San Francisco. Anyone remember that? It was on from 1972 to 1977. Now, I was born in 72. So obviously, I think we were watching reruns, or maybe I was watching like the tail end of it. But I do remember watching The Streets of San Francisco, Carl Malden and Michael Douglas. Yeah, Michael Douglas, like a young Michael Douglas was in. And they were cops, you know, and they're solving crimes in San Francisco. And I don't know, I don't remember any of the plots of it, but I do remember the show. And as somebody that grew up in California, lived there for a long, long, long time, I love the state. It's beautiful. It's iconic. It's the sixth largest economy in the world, just the state of California. It's really an amazing place. And it still is an amazing place geographically. Sun shines, the beaches are beautiful. You know, the San Diego is voted like best weather in the country year in and year out. You've got San Diego and Orange County and Los Angeles. Santa Barbara's beautiful and wine country. San Francisco has its charm, or at least it used to. You've got redwoods. There's a lot going on. There's skiing, there's deserts. I grew up out in the desert, Palm Springs area. If anyone knows of Coachella, if you've ever heard of the concert, you know, venue Coachella that has the festivals every year, that's where I grew up. I grew up in the Coachella Valley. I grew up down the street from there before we had any concerts. The only concerts we had was my buddy's band who, they turned into something, Queens of the Stone Age. So that's not bad. But all those days, all those memories I have of California, they seem like distant memories now. And the last time I was in San Francisco was a couple years ago for my buddy's birthday. We surprised him down at Fisherman's Wharf. And I was like, to say I was disappointed in what San Francisco looked like would be an understatement. I knew it was going to be a shithole because I had been, reading news and following along, and I knew what San Francisco had turned into. I kind of wanted to see it for my own eye, with my own eyes. And it was, look, I'm not trying to shit on the people that are down on their luck. There's a lot of people, life is hard. Life is, and if you make the wrong mistakes, as Chris Rock said, people say life is short. No, life is long. When you make the wrong mistakes, life is long. If you are strung out on drugs or you have mental illness, you have these things, you have a difficult uphill battle in life. And San Francisco has been a collecting area for a lot of people that are down on their luck. And I'm not trying to pile on them. Some of the problems are self-inflicted, of course. Some of them are not. Some of them are situational. Some of them are, really sad. Woman with her three kids escapes an abusive relationship, has nowhere to go, winds up on the streets. Awful stuff, right? So I'm not trying to say that is the, that they are the reason for this. In fact, they're the product. They're the result of this. But it is certainly not. It is not only their fault. Contributing factor, for sure. When you're stealing, breaking into cars, doing all this stuff, you're part of the problem, undeniably. But what caused the problem? And when it comes to California in general, but San Francisco in particular, the problems are self-inflicted, which I think you could maybe take as a good news, bad news situation. The bad news is San Francisco is a shit-infested, heroin-filled, dystopian hellscape right now. The good news is it's fixable because the problems that are happening there were all created by politicians. They created a scenario in which San Francisco, the old San Francisco, transformed into the new San Francisco. And if it can change one way, then it can change back, at least theoretically. But I want to talk about some of the problems that San Francisco is having, and not just, you know, to escape from mere generalizations. I want to direct your attention to a group that is destroying the city, and that is the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Probably never heard of this group, but it just got into the news recently. For one particular reason, why it's on my radar. Once you dig into it, you'll find that this is just the most latest. It's just the most current reason that the San Francisco Board of Supervisors is one of the most dangerous groups in all the state. And when you hear this, you know, you probably heard this in the news, and you maybe shook your head or went, "Oh my God, this sounds crazy." Well, in what was described as an unhinged meeting, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted 8-3 in favor of giving the police the ability to use lethal, remote-controlled robots in certain situations. Now, I know, you probably saw this headline and laughed. Or maybe you read it. Maybe you saw it somewhere and you went, "What the fuck?" You know, like, what is this? We've seen the Boston Dynamics, which is now owned by Hyundai. We've seen the Boston Dynamics robot dogs. If you've seen Black Mirror, you've seen the robot dogs in Black Mirror. We've seen the police negotiator, the robot that kind of goes to negotiating scenes that has cameras and microphones and everything. They sent that to Zach Voorhees' house in San Francisco when he blew the whistle on Google. Google called the police and said he was suicidal and was thinking of killing everybody. So they sent the police fucking robot to his house. He was not suicidal. Anyway. So they have voted unanimously in favor of authorizing remote-controlled robots to use lethal force in certain situations. And I'm going to get into the details of this. It is so crazy and so RoboCop that you won't even believe it. But this is a quote from Supervisor Connie Chan. She said, "According to state law, we are required to approve the use of these equipments." Well, state law in California is horrible to begin with. So I'm really not surprised that according to California state law, we're required to approve the use of lethal robots that will kill everybody. We just have to. It says it right there in the bylaws, I guess. I don't know. They discussed using robots armed with bombs to deal with suicide bombers. And if there's an interview, you can watch part of this. There's a video of this process of the debate and the meeting, and they're talking about it and they're discussing it. And there's this one guy who is just, he's like all of us. He is beside himself with anger and frustration. And he's like, "Let me get this straight. You have a suicide bomber situation, right? A guy who's threatening to blow himself up with a bomb. And you want to send a robot with a bomb to blow him up first. Am I hearing this correctly?" And everyone's like, "Yeah, that's right." And he's like, "Am I having an out-of-body experience here? What is going on? You're going to send a robot with a bomb. You're worried about a guy with a bomb that might set off this bomb and hurt people. Your solution is to get a robot with a bomb to blow him up first. Am I getting this right?" And the answer is, "Yeah, you're getting this right. That's correct. That's what we're talking about here." So they said that any criticism of this decision is, quote, anti-police, because everybody knows the police can be trusted with robot bombs and things like that. I mean, it always works so well when the police get involved. They never accidentally shoot people. They never immediately shoot all the dogs when they show up at a situation. piggybacking off of this deflection, this, talking to any criticism of this is anti-police. No, any criticism of this is logic and common sense, and anti-police doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm anti-police. You can put that on me. I don't give a shit. I hate the police. I don't like cops. I don't like cop mentality. I don't like the way they think. I don't like the way they act. I don't like the way they protect themselves. I don't like them. So you're going to have to come up with another disparaging description besides anti-police to call me, because I take that as a compliment. I don't give a shit. You put anti-police on my business card if you'd like. I don't care. I don't consider it to be a negative thing. But she said, quote, I don't want San Francisco to pioneer the restriction on the deadly force used by a robotic implement. That was said by a San Francisco Board of Supervisor member. Now, I want you to envision the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, this board. There are 11 of them. They are all pronoun people, every one of them. There's NIMBYs in there. There's they, thems. I'm sure there's at least a couple cake genders. One of them is a cake gender after lunch. Maybe it's before lunch. Are you cake gender while you're hungry or after you've had dessert? I'll have to get back to you guys on that. But they described the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, the members, has described San Francisco as a soft target. They said, we're a soft target. And unless we get this technology, you know, we're going to have real problems. And this person said, I don't want to be the one. I don't want San Francisco to be the first city to say no to this. We need this. And everyone with a functioning brain is like, this is crazy. We've all seen RoboCop, directed by Paul Verhoeven. Remember RoboCop? RoboCop goes, I'm going to get to that in a second. I met Paul Verhoeven, actually. I got into a car accident with him, and he couldn't have been nicer, right? This was in Santa Monica, back in, like, I don't know, like mid-90s. He gave me his insurance card. I go, Paul Verhoeven? I go, you like the director? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I go, oh. Well, I go, thank God you weren't driving a Ferrari. He goes, oh, these things happen. They happen. It's fine. It couldn't have been nicer. But he directed RoboCop. RoboCop was supposed to be a comedy. It wasn't funny. It's changed. They have to move it from science fiction to like documentary after this. So they describe San Francisco as a soft target. Maybe you wouldn't be such a soft target if everyone wasn't passed out from fentanyl on the sidewalk. They announced that people are trying to kill them. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors said that people are trying to kill them. They invoked January 6th during this meeting. They invoked Mandalay Bay for some reason. They talked about how if this person had a bomb, like the guy that I mentioned that went like apoplectic was like out of his mind. Like, you want to use a bomb to blow up a bomber? The scenario was he said, you want to use a bomb to blow up a hotel because there's a guy in a hotel that's got a bomb. You want to blow up the whole hotel? And they're like, that's right. I mean, it's crazy. But that's San Francisco for you. The 1033 program makes this possible, which is the program that the federal government put up to recycle military equipment back into local police forces at no cost, just the charge of shipping and handling. What does shipping and handling cost on a robot strapped with bombs? How much is the shipping and handling on that? But back to RoboCop, because RoboCop was a movie that came out in the late 80s. And it's society, this is the plot. Society is on the brink of collapse. Like, just in your head, mental checklist. See if any of these things, sound like maybe today. Society is on a brink of collapse socially. It's on the brink of collapse financially. There's overwhelming crime. So they grant a mega corporation, Omni Consumer Products, the ability to privatize the police force in order to get the bad guys. So they build this RoboCop, which is like, the cop dies. It's a long story. You can watch the movie. You probably have seen the movie. But the point of the movie is that you don't want to trust the robots with guns, because sometimes the robots go off course and murder everybody in the boardroom. which happens, which is maybe the reason why San Francisco, I don't know, the Board of Supervisors think that people are trying to kill them. I got news for you. The robot's definitely going to kill you, like immediately. So anyway, this is what sort of jumped onto my radar. I'm like, who is, you know, whose dumb idea is this? And I look and I go, oh, it's the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco. It's these dipshits again? Of course it is. Why am I not surprised? So I want to talk about a little bit about who this group is and why they're so bad at, oh, I don't know, everything. So this is the same, the same group enabled the police, the local police in San Francisco, the ability, they enabled them to get live access to private security cameras around the city, corporations, ring cameras, and all that. They enabled the police to tap into that without any realistic scenarios on how that was going to stop or prevent or mitigate crime at all. They simply did not have an answer as to how that was going to help. Didn't matter. They granted them access anyway. Because these people are psychopaths. And they think that, you know, they want a surveillance state. We're also talking about the Bay Area of California, which is Silicon Valley. You know, not directly San Francisco. Some place, just so you know the geography of the Bay Area, San Francisco. There are some tech companies in San Francisco, quite a few of them. But as you move a little bit further south or even east across the Bay, there are other cities that pop up, Palo Alto and San Jose and places like that. This is what's known as Silicon Valley. So there's a kind of a combination. I did that show, the Creature from Sand Hill Road. That's Menlo Park and Palo Alto. That whole general area is described as Silicon Valley. I'm not exactly sure what cities constitute that, but Mountain View, Menlo Park, Palo Alto, San Jose, San Francisco, maybe parts of, I don't know, Oakland, maybe not. But anyway, it's the San Francisco Bay Area. And so in that region, that city of San Francisco, which is sort of up like on a peninsula all on its own, surrounded on three sides by water, there's nowhere to go. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors runs things there, okay? They're the group that you need to infiltrate, and if you want to make changes. So when George Soros goes and decides that he wants to destroy a city from the inside, he would finance these people. He would put them in positions of power inside this group. So who else was a member? Who's a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors? Most of the names you won't recognize. There's one that you will. Well, there's a couple that you will. We'll get to all of them. You guys know Scott Wiener? You ever hear of Scott Wiener? Oh, Scott Wiener is a peach. Let me tell you. He is a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, of course. He wanted to offer Drag Queen 101 as part of the kindergarten through 12th grade curriculum in California. I'm not kidding, and I'm not making that up. He pushed to have what he described as Drag Queen 101 as part of the curriculum. Meaning mandatory that you have to watch Drag Queen 101 or participate in this shit show as a kid who's five to 17. You have to go through this, according to him. This way here. Now, Scott Wiener is a gay man. Nothing wrong with that. Be whoever you want to be, Scott. I got no problems with your sexuality towards consenting adults. However, I do have some questions about the other things that you're interested in. I'm really interested. We've talked about this guy before. Perhaps you remember. I talked about this California politician who was pushing to reduce the penalties for pedophiles who sexually assaulted and raped children, meaning that if the victim was less than 10 years younger than the assailant, that the assailant would be given a slap on the wrist, essentially. So if you're 11 and you're getting molested by a 20-year-old, that's okay to Scott Wiener. If you're 11 and you're getting molested by a 30-year-old, that's a problem. But if you're less than 10 years older than the person that you are raping as a pedophile, Scott Wiener's fine with that. He doesn't have a problem with that. It's just a mix-up. It's we're all differently. Sexuality is fluid. It's not set in stone. It's all these things that pedophiles tell themselves to make themselves feel better because they like to have sex with children. And Scott Wiener is a pedophile. Okay. He's the walks like a duck, quacks like a duck pedophile. Now, to be crystal clear, Scott Wiener's never been convicted of pedophilia. But he's the guy that's in all the pictures in leather bondage outfits doing the pride marches. Again, doesn't mean you're a pedophile. If you're involved in pride or in the pride marches, you could be, but just because you're in the marches doesn't mean that you are. But when you do that in conjunction with wanting to put drag queen story, drag queen 101 in for kids, making it mandatory. Plus, you want to reduce penalties for pedophiles who rape kids that are less than, then you are at the very minimum pedophile adjacent. Okay. And that's what Scott Wiener is. But he's on this board of supervisors. He voted in favor of the RoboCop. He didn't give a shit. But you might also recognize Scott Wiener from a couple days ago as well when he got busted faking a hate crime against himself. Did you see that? Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a typed message that Scott Wiener presented as evidence. Someone had sent him this message, this terrible message. And it was, it said that, I don't know, that he was, someone was mad at him because he wanted this reduced penalties for pedophiles and all the groomer stuff. And there's this long letter where it was like, you're terrible and we want you to die. And we think that you should go back to where you came from and kill all fags and, you know, all that stuff, right? But there were a couple problems with the hate letter. See, he accidentally left the cursor at the bottom of the message. And also the grammar suggestions were underlined, which showed that it was actually he was the one creating the document. The grammar wouldn't have been underlined and the cursor wouldn't have been in there if it was something that had been sent to him, not a document that he opened up and created himself, thus the cursor, thus the underline. So he tried to pass this off on Twitter as a hateful email that he got from those bad people out there that are targeting poor old me. But you know what? There seems to be more of a demand for hate than there is a supply. So guys like Scott Wiener have to go make it up themselves because there's just not enough hate out there. They want you to believe that they're oppressed and that everybody's hating them and everybody's sending them these threatening messages. Except, you know what? It's just not happening. So in order to make their story seem plausible, they create the messages themselves. They target themselves. They Jussie Smollett this whole thing. It's a weird grift. It only happens on the left. Well, I shouldn't say only. It mostly happens on the left, I should say, if I want to be fair. I'm sure somebody could pull up some conservative people that have done this in the past. But all I really ever see are the people on the left doing it. Again, because I'm sure there's people that want to send him messages. Maybe he has gotten these messages. That message, he faked it. But this is a guy who also pushed for biological men in women's prisons. Why? He wanted the gender identity sanctuary for kids, where kids could go without parental consent. Again, you want kids to be in a place where they can explore their gender identity in a sanctuary, a gender identity sanctuary, as it were, where kids can go without parental consent. You want to put biological men, trans people, in women's prison. You want Drag Queen 101 as part of the curriculum, from kindergarten through 12th grade. You voted in favor of RoboCop. And you want to tell me you're not a pedophile? You're doing all the things pedophiles do. You're advocating for them. Again, maybe you're just pedophile adjacent. Maybe you're just representing your constituents. But this is what you get. This is the mentality. So when you read that document, you go, these people agreed to arm robots? What kind of morons would vote for this? Scott Wiener. That's who. You know him. You know him now. You didn't already. That's who would vote for this. But I want to get into, you know, I like numbers. I want to get into some of the numbers. I want to get into some of the statistics behind San Francisco. Approval ratings, disapproval ratings. And I get, okay, you polls, we can make of them whatever you want. But I don't think most people really care about polls all that much, unless they're very mad. If they're mad, then maybe they'll make their voice heard. But if they're indifferent, it's kind of whatever. So again, we can take these polls and you can make of them what you want. But these are the numbers that I discovered when researching for this. San Francisco public school system, 69% disapproval. Gee, I wonder why that is. You're busy trying to make drag queen story hour mandatory. I wonder why people are 7 out of 10 people are disapproving of this. San Francisco Police Department, 59% disapproval. That's probably the best you're going to get too. By the way, when I get done with all of these, statistically speaking, 59% disapproval rate for the police department, you guys are winning this race. Wait till I get to the other ones. San Francisco Board of Supervisors, this band of retards, 77% disapproval. That means that 7 out of every 9 people that they interviewed said those people are doing a bad job. That's a lot of people. 77% is really high. Almost as high as the people working in there. Mayor London Breed, 64% disapproval rate. Former district attorney Chesa Bowden, 73% disapproval rate. But Chesa Bowden's no longer there. Remember this piece of shit? Remember this George Soros-financed scumbag with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn as his step-parents who are actual convicted his parents, Chesa Bowden's parents, went to prison forever for murdering a Brinks armored car guard during a bank robbery, during the robbery of this truck, which classifies as a bank robbery. They murdered a guy. Okay, Chesa Bowden's parents did. They went to prison for a long, long time. His mom just got out. His dad's still in prison. While he was in, when this happened, Chesa was a baby. He was adopted by 2 actual terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. So this guy was raised by actual terrorists. He was then financed by George Soros, who is the leader of the terrorists, installed as the San Francisco district attorney. And he is the one who put Proposition 47 into play, which prevents police from stopping anyone stealing less than $950 worth of items. So again, like I said, San Francisco's a shithole. It's a measurable observation. It's not my opinion. There's literally shit on the sidewalks everywhere, and it's being done intentionally because the people that are being installed in there are putting ideas in place that make no sense. That if you decriminalize stealing anything less than $950, you know what you're going to get? A lot of stealing. You don't have to have a PhD in political science to understand this or have a deep understanding of criminal mentality. You just have to be a human being, which these people may not be. I mean, Chesa Bowden is as close to being a fake person as you could ever be. They asked the question, City Hall doesn't know how to fix homelessness. Would you agree or disagree? 71% agree that they do not know how to fix homelessness. City Hall doesn't know how to fix crime. 63% agree. So the government, who is in charge of making society work in this crazy world that we live in. It's run by the worst people that have the dumbest ideas, financed by one of the biggest supervillains on the planet, destroys the city with crime and homelessness to the point where everybody knows that this group is responsible for it. And yet people keep voting them in. For those of you that are you're not from America or you're not really sure what San Francisco is, you've heard of it or anything. I'll give you some names of people that have come through the city of San Francisco. And you tell me if these names mean anything to you. There's the theme. You'll notice it pretty quick. Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. All Democrats, all deeply corrupt, all responsible for destroying America, but San Francisco in particular. They all come through San Francisco. That's why this is important. And it's not happening accidentally. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about where we are with, let's just call it organized retail crime. Now, we know about the Prop 47, which prevents the police from arresting people for crimes under $950. I have to shout out the one gentleman who owned a convenience store in San Francisco, who is clearly a genius, because he marked everything in his store up to $951 and then said, come to the front desk for coupons. Good for you, buddy. I like your style. So San Francisco is the leader in organized retail crime. Nationwide, it is 26.5% higher in 2021 than it was in 2020. So the retail crime, this takes a variety of shapes. This is people going into Walgreens and loading up backpacks filled with stuff and walking out, which we've seen a lot of. This is the breaking into cars and stealing everything that's in there because, you know, nobody will do anything about it. This is 40 people running into Louis Vuitton and grabbing everything and running out all at once. That's what we're talking about here. And it comes in different shapes and sizes. What we've found is that 81.2% of retailers reported increases in violence with organized retail crime. So it's not just that the crime is happening. There's violence associated with it. It's everybody runs in the store and knocks out the guards, knocks out the people working the desk and everything like that, and then steals everything. So it's beyond just traditional shoplifting. It has now evolved into, at least 81.2% of retailers are saying it's evolved into violence now. So it's violent crime. Great. Target Corporation announced it lost $400 million due to shoplifting in 2021. That is over $1 million every single day. Walks out the door of Target. How do you stay in business? Like, you bring in new CEOs to button up things and make, you know, I want to change this. Let's maybe push this. Let's do some, you know, different accounting. Let's do something. We got to save some money. I got to save these jobs and everything. And you look at the books, you know, I got to do something to help this. And then you look at this item in your quarterly statements and you go, are we losing $1 million a day from shoplifting? Is that right? And they go, yeah. Well, I'm going to plug that hole immediately. We'll just put armed guards at every place. I mean, what's an armed guard at each door cost? Certainly, you know, for all of our stores, certainly is going to cost less than $400 million. The theft inside of Target Corporation has increased 50% year over year. So it's not slowing down. It's not high school kids stealing Gatorades. It's none of that. It's organized retail crime. And Target is getting destroyed by it. They close their stores in San Francisco at 6 o'clock now. You know why? couldn't keep them open at night. Too many people were just coming in and looting the place. Can't call the police. The police will not show up. Prop 49 says they can't show up. They can't do anything if they did show up. So the cops don't care. Why should you? You know, that's the message. These people are stealing right out of this store. Somebody do something. Officer, do something. Officer go, I can't. Not, you know, I mean, maybe the cop would do something, maybe he wouldn't, but they can't. They're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. As a shop owner, if you take a baseball bat to that guy's head as he's walking out with his backpack filled with stuff, you'll go to prison. He won't. He'll own the store probably after that. He'll sue you for violating his civil rights because he had the right to steal everything that he wanted from your store that you busted your ass to make happen. Walgreens closed all 17 stores in San Francisco. They just closed them. They just said, we're not playing this anymore. This is crazy. CVS closed all their San Francisco stores because 8% of all the theft that was happening company-wide at CVS. CVS, for those that don't live in America, it's a retail drugstore. They're everywhere. You know, there might be, I don't even know. I live in Denver. There might be 50 of them in Denver, right? They're just there. They're everywhere. They're little, they're on the, you go in, you get their medicine, you know, not their prescriptions. You get your prescriptions filled there. You get, you know, soap and shampoo and all that stuff. It's a convenience store. It's not, there's some food, you know, you can get some minor electronic type things, but whatever. CVS just goes, they said, of all of the theft that happens company-wide of all of our thousands of stores, 8% of it comes from just 12 locations in San Francisco. So they go, we'll just solve that problem. We'll just close all of our San Francisco stores. That way we've just taken care of, we've reduced the amount of theft company-wide by 8%. We just solved the problem, which I'm sure Target will be doing at some point. I mean, right now they're closed at 6 o'clock. At some point, they'll just be gone. And you guys in San Francisco, you know what? You have nobody to blame but yourself. You keep voting for this insanity. I know not the ones listening to this, of course, because you guys are reasonable people with a functioning brain. But everybody else, you keep voting for this. Stunning and brave, stunning and brave. You guys are getting looted. These stores are leaving. They're never coming back. Why would they? Rite Aid in New York City, considering making the entire store a vending machine and putting everything behind plexiglass. Their words. Portland, recently in here in America, there was a story that made national headlines. I don't know why this one necessarily made national headlines as opposed to some of the other ones, because you really could just throw a piece of human shit on the streets of Portland and hit a building or a company that's recently gone out of business. But in Portland, a store closed and made national headlines after being broken into 15 times. The insurance stopped paying after the third break-in. The lady finally just said, I'm closing up the store. She put a note on the, you know, she put a, typed up a letter and taped it to the front of the door and said, we're done. We're out of here. We've been broken into 15 times. Insurance isn't making us whole. We can't do this anymore. You fucking savages out there are breaking into our store and we're leaving. We're done. Cars in San Francisco will just leave the back hatch. If you're like a minivan or something, they'll just leave the back hatch open. Now, I don't mean unlocked. I mean opened up, wide open, so that the people in San Francisco that want to steal the shit out of their cars, just please don't break my windows. I'll leave the hatch open. You can rummage around in my car, take a dump in the passenger seat. I don't care. Just please don't break my window. I'm tired of replacing my goddamn window. Think of how that gets normalized. And frankly, you know, listen, I'm not even criticizing the people that do this with their car. It comes from experience. They shouldn't have to. I want to be clear about that. Should never have to live in a situation where this is actually happening. But if you do live in San Francisco, and let's say you can't leave and you have a car and you have to deal with this stuff, and you've had your car broken into 14 times this year, you get to a point where you go, I'm tired of buying new windows. I'm just going to leave it unlocked. I'm not going to leave anything in there, but I'll leave it unlocked and open, like as a sign, like you want it, you can go in there. Just please don't break my windows anymore. San Francisco, fuck yeah, man. You're either a millionaire or you shit on the sidewalk in San Francisco. 85% of retail loss is committed by organized criminal activity. So Chesa Bowden goes in and puts the laws in place that say, we're not going to prosecute these poor people that want to, that need to break in because they just, they need this material because they just need to survive. And it's white oppression. And all of you people have made it so hard on these people. And this is not who's stealing the shit. 85% of the theft that's happening is organized crime, gangs, groups of people, people that are taking this stuff and then selling it elsewhere. This isn't a mother with four kids who's down on her luck and is stealing baby formula. I'm sure that happens. But that's not what, that 85% of the retail loss is committed by organized crime. And I can tell you from a semi-personal experience with my wife that one of the clients that she worked with, who is a CEO in San Francisco, was carjacked. It's real. This is really happening. So let's talk about the overall health of the city. I mean, San Francisco is a mess, you know, both figuratively and literally. It's a mess. Snapcrap is the poop app that requests that the Public Works Division clean up human shit in San Francisco. They made an app. If you have that app on your phone, you open up the app, which opens up your camera. You take a picture of the pile of human shit on your sidewalk, and then you hit a button and it uploads it to the map so that the Public Works Division can know where to go to clean it up. Not that they'll actually clean it up, but you just know where it is. Now, when you look at the map, the city map, of course, they put a little brown spot where it is, right? But when you look at the city map of San Francisco, it's just the entire thing is covered in brown on the screen, maybe literally. But on your phone, it's everywhere. And in staying with San Francisco's ass backwards policy, the fine for your dog shitting on the sidewalk is four times higher than the fine for humans shitting on the sidewalk, just so you know. Dirty needles everywhere. Again, back to Scott Wiener, our favorite pedophile, allegedly. He pushed legislation for shooting galleries, shooting areas, safe injection areas for heroin in San Francisco, Oakland, and Los Angeles. It's called SB 57. You can look that up. So when Scott Wiener isn't trying to sexualize your children or expose them to drag queen story hour, At 5 years old, he wants to make sure that you can shoot heroin wherever you want. Because values, and we love our city. Now, again, there's a million reasons why people get hooked up on drugs. I'm not trying to shit on people that get hooked up on drugs. It's a trap. Those that have escaped the trap know that. Credit to you for escaping that. A lot of people don't, though. And there's no easy answer on the drug situation, but I tell you, when Scott Wiener is suggesting solutions for it, automatically I'm against it. So whatever he wants, I'm not interested in. But there are dirty heroin needles everywhere. They're just everywhere. So I don't know. Maybe come up with a different plan. This plan, it doesn't seem to be working very well. Unless the plan, of course, is to destroy the city, which it very well may be. 711 people in San Francisco died of overdoses in 2020. 640 more died of overdoses in 2021. So that's a problem. There's a rampant, that's just what gets reported. But this whole city has become, you know, it used to be you have tech, you have a rampant sports industry, San Francisco, you know, you've got San Francisco Giants, you've got the 49ers are there, you've got Golden State Warriors across the Bay, or well, actually they're in San Francisco now, but used to be in Oakland, Oakland A's and everything. Oakland Raiders, they're all leaving. Oakland Raiders left, moved to Vegas. Oakland A's are right behind them. They're about to move. So like this area is not healthy. And a lot of people are getting the fuck out of there. Now, again, this is the home of Paul Pelosi, Mr. You know, Stop Hammer Time. Paul Pelosi is involved in this nonsense too. Just helping a friend out, I'm sure. Between March of 2020, pandemic time, and September of 2021, the rate of people leaving San Francisco increased by 21%. I'm a little surprised it's not higher than that. I think for a lot of people, they couldn't, those that could leave, left. It's easier said than done, though. You know, if you're a family and you've got kids in school, that's a pain in the ass to pack up and move across country, move somewhere else. You know, it's a pain. But when COVID hit and remote work started to become more of a thing, reasonable thing, people that were able to got the fuck out of San Francisco and never came back. That's why Gavin Newsom is the U-Haul salesperson of the year. San Francisco has more home buyers looking to leave than any city in the country. I work in real estate. We love it. I run a real estate brokerage in Las Vegas. If anyone is looking to buy or sell a house in Las Vegas, let me know. You know who really likes buying houses in Las Vegas? People that are leaving San Francisco because it's a third of the price and there's none of this bullshit. There is gambling at the grocery stores, though, which may be worse than heroin, depending on your level of addiction. So more than half of the residents living in San Francisco Bay Area say they are considering moving out of the area permanently. 56% say they're considering it. Again, a lot of factors that make you go from considering it to actually doing it. And those that could make that move easily, a lot of them did. But there's plenty of reasons for this. You've got housing prices. Housing prices in San Francisco are insane. They don't make any sense. I mean, they make sense from a supply and demand standpoint that there's, you know, you're sort of out on a peninsula and there's limited supply. The demand is because of the tech industry, but you quite literally walk out of your building where you've got a $3 million condo and you walk out onto the sidewalk and there's 30 people sleeping there if they're not just actively injecting each other with vaccines or whatever it is they're doing. Home prices are insane. Laws aren't enforced. Taxes are too high. California state tax, 13.3%. Number one out of all 50 states. The highest tax rates. What do you get for your money in California? Not a lot, which is the reason why people have left. You know, the one thing that people realize when they leave California, and I've done this because I left California and moved to Vegas, then moved back to California for a couple of years and then moved to Colorado. When you go to a different state and you get your driver's license or you register your car, that is where it will jump out at you the most. If I registered my car, back when I lived in California, a normal car, I'd get my registration tags for my license plate. Have to be renewed every year. Mine would be $600. You go to like Colorado where I am, it's like $45. So you're like, oh, I mean, it's staggering. Like everything in California is taxed as far as they can make it. Sales tax is, so you have the highest state income tax. So that means, let me explain this. If you live in California, you pay a federal tax rate, which is, depends on how much money you make. But on top of that, you also pay a state tax rate. That's the 13.3%. So whatever your federal taxes are, you have to add in 13.3%. That's why when Joe Rogan said, I'm out of here, I'm leaving California for Texas, the amount of money he saved on California state taxes, if his deal was $100 million, the amount of money he saved just from moving to Texas was $13 million. Now, I don't know the details of his deal, but just understand when you start talking about that, that's a lot of money. It's 13.3% is a lot anyway. But you could maybe justify it if you felt like you were getting better services, better energy, better everything. Everything's not, you know, things are worse there blackouts and brownouts, the power grid's constantly having problems. There's fires everywhere. As Jimmy Buffett says, they've got riots, fires, and mudslides. They've got sushi in the mall, you know? So there's a lot going on there. Not all of it's good. And of course, there's property taxes. Property taxes are 0.75%. So every year you pay 0.75% of the value of the house that you bought, you pay to the state of California so that they can squander it on shooting galleries for heroin addicts in San Francisco so that Scott Wiener can get reelected by a bunch of people that aren't allowed to vote because they're criminals, more than likely. Great plan. Currently right now, in the state of California in general, you've got 48,000 researchers and student employees across 10 University of California campuses that are launching a strike, or that did launch a strike in the middle of November, demanding pay raises and for cost of living. So they don't even pay the people that are working at their universities a living wage. The universities that are all filled with wokeness, that have now done away with the SAT, the standardized aptitude test that you use to get into colleges. You take the SAT when you're a junior in high school. I think sometimes you take it again when you're a senior if you want to. You get a particular score. That is part of what you submit to the colleges when you apply to get into college, so that they can see, among other things, how you think, what your score is. And the UC system in California just goes, we don't need that anymore. It's too culturally biased. And everyone's like, what? And so because they care, you know, they care about everybody. They want to be so fair, except for their 48,000 researchers and student employees that they won't pay a living wage to. It's just so maddening to listen to these people. But of course, what do you expect? Really, what do you expect in a state, California, that has a governor, Gavin Newsom? Let's talk about this psychopathic piece of shit for a second, because in case you didn't know, he's Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Oh, is that a revelation to some of you? You didn't know that? Think about it. Think about how much sense that makes now. Oh, yes. It all makes sense now. The American psycho himself, Gavin Newsom, probably going to be the president of the United States one day. Don't laugh. It's probably going to happen. He's got that look. He's got that soulless, psychopathic look, that slick back like hair, like he combed his hair with buttered toast. A real cocksucker. Just when you look at him, he just looks like a dick. Well, I got news for you. He's a seriously troubled individual. He was the mayor of San Francisco at age 36 back in 2003. So he's part of the reason why San Francisco is the shithole that it is that because ever since Gavin Newsom has been involved in California politics, things have gotten markedly worse. Okay. And I don't think it's accidental. He was elected the mayor of San Francisco in 2003. He was reelected in 2007 because I guess they like bondage and discipline and getting spanked by Daddy Gavin. I don't know. He was elected lieutenant governor in 2010. He was reelected in 2014. He was elected governor of California in 2018. There was a recall attempt on after, you know, his COVID French laundry rules for thee, but not for me, fiasco. They tried to recall him in 2021. It failed, probably. I don't know. I won't say it. I'll say it. He probably fucking cheated, but I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe California just likes this stuff. You know, maybe California is voting for exactly what they want. Maybe what they want is a catastrophe. They're going to get it. They have nobody to blame but themselves. I left California. I'm never moving back there. Damn shame too. Great place. I loved growing up there. Went to school there. Lived there for a long, long time. It's a goddamn shame what these politicians did to it. But again, he was reelected after the recall attempt. He ran again 2022 and he was reelected. So apparently Californians either love this guy, like to get kicked in the balls constantly, or they're rigging elections. Maybe all three. You want to know, you want to know what Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris have in common? Yes, it involves Willie Brown. But Kamala got her knees dirty to get her job from Willie Brown. I don't even want to know what Gavin did. But Willie Brown gave Gavin Newsom his gig in 1996, his first gig, as city's parking and traffic on the city's parking and traffic commission. Now, have you seen the parking and traffic in San Francisco? He's clearly, you know, wasn't doing a good job. So then Willie Brown, Gavin had all these wineries and restaurants that he created with his financier, one of the Getty Oil guys, who's definitely not into dark satanic shit or anything like that. Wink, wink, allegedly. Use that money to create these restaurants, wineries, and things like that, and then would throw campaign parties for Willie Brown at his places. And so Willie Brown said, then appointed Gavin to fill a vacancy on the, wait for it, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, right where we started this whole thing, the group that voted to approve RoboCop and all this stuff. Gavin Newsom was appointed to the board to fill a vacancy. There's a vacancy, and Willie Brown goes, I got a perfect guy for you. A soulless degenerate that'll fit right in. Gavin Newsom, welcome to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Have a seat. He was installed first. He was appointed, meaning it wasn't voted on. But don't worry, because he then was elected to the board in 98, 2000, 2002. Did I mention that Gavin Newsom's wife fucked Harvey Weinstein for an acting role and then had to testify that he had a fish-shaped dick? Must have slipped my mind. Anyway, Gavin Newsom has now proposed, we're gonna end it on this one, because I quite literally don't want to go on much further talking about this. It's very sad and depressing. I loved California. It's a goddamn shame what these people did to it. But Gavin Newsom has really outdone himself this time around. And I know you guys have seen this in the news lately. It's so preposterous and silly that it sounds like they're making it up. But if there's one thing I can assure you about California politicians, they don't have a sense of humor. Okay. They wouldn't recognize how funny this is. It has to be serious. Gavin Newsom has now proposed what I would describe as the craziest idea of all time. Reparations. Gavin Newsom wants to pay reparations to the Black community for slavery that happened 175 years ago in a state, California, that didn't have slaves. And he doesn't want to just give them a $100 gift card to Target. Not that you would need, I mean, from what I hear, Target's just open for the stealing. He's not talking about, I'm going to give them free college at my UC system. I'm not going to, although let's not give him any ideas. You know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to give them these little things. No, no. The proposal that Gavin Newsom has is to pay people. Are you ready for this? Sit down. This is how much he wants to pay each person. 2.5 million people out there. Okay. He wants to get 2.5 million people together, the Black community inside California, and he wants to pay each of them $223,200. $250,000 to each person who wasn't a slave, may or may not have been actually related to a slave. Slavery happened almost 2 centuries ago. It didn't happen by me or anybody living in California. It didn't happen to any of the people living in California, but none of that shit matters. This will cost the state of California $569 billion. Gavin Newsom wants to give away a little bit more than $500 billion to the Black community for slavery. No, housing discrimination is what he's calling it. Housing discrimination. When California was all forests, I feel like I am smoking crystal meth. I feel like I'm smoking crystal meth in Scott Wiener's district, in the Castro district. I must be. There's no possible way this can be real. But he says, if housing discrimination doesn't work, then their backup plans are to invoke either these four options, either the reasons for the justification for giving this money away, mass incarceration, unjust property seizure, devaluation of Black businesses, or healthcare. Do you remember the Chappelle Show skit where they did the reparations? You recognize that the one component of it, because it was at the end of all of his show where you hear the horn, I'm rich, bitch. That was Ashy Larry when reparations got handed out. And in the joking, in the hilarious Chappelle Show skit, the newscaster, who was Dave Chappelle dressed as a white guy, which is both hilarious and terrifying if you've ever seen that image of him, he's talking about how FUBU and KFC have merged to join to create the biggest corporation in the world. I mean, it's so fucking funny. The whole skit is hilarious. And, you know, guys are out buying entire 18-wheeler trucks of cool menthols and stuff like that. I mean, it's racist and funny and all that stuff. But like, it's a skit for Comedy Central 20 years ago. It's not supposed to be part of a documentary series that Gavin Newsom is apparently putting back together. But those of you in California that are listening to this, those of my Black brothers and sisters that are in California that are going to soon be receiving $223,200, all I'm saying is kick a little some of it this way, right? Spread it around. Share the wealth. Or move out of Clown Town. I don't know. Either way, works for me. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression or go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.